Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava
Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Balaba. Balaba
Oh, Divine grace, Sri Bhakti, Vedana Goswami Maharaj, Shiva Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnu Bhad, Vadamahansa, Vadabhadi, Gacharja, Stowa, Tadasara, Shri Shri Mahan, Divine grace, Shri Bhakti, Siddhanta, Saraswati, Thakur, Maharaj, Shiva Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Rinda Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kundarada Kundi Gita Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Sri Sri Navadvipa Dham Ki Jai. Sri Sri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Sri Sri Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Sri Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Tulasi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Gangamaya Ki Jai. Dugunamaya Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi. Harinama Sankirtan Ki Jai. Sri Sri Brihat Madanga Ki Jai. Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai. Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai. Berlin Jatra Ki Jai. Shamavita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. That was the translation, now the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of his energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal superior nature of the Lord, but due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nitya Badha, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult, even though that material nature is an inferior energy. Because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome. I'll read that again. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult, even though that material nature is an inferior energy. Because material nature is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm this as follows. Mayam tu prakritim vidyan Mayinam tu Maheshwaram. Although Maya, illusion, is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the supreme magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller, from Saitasvara Upanishad 4.10. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service, or Krishna consciousness, can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this release out of his causeless mercy, on the surrendered soul and out of his paternal affection for the living entity, who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. The words Mam Eva are also significant. Mam means unto Krishna, Vishnu only, and not Brahma or Shiva. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of Rajaguna, passion, and Tamaguna, ignorance, to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya. Therefore, he alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Vedas, Svetashvatara Upanishad 3.8, confirm this in the phrase Tam Eva Viditva, or freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms that liberation can be achieved only by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, Mukti Pradata Sarvesham Vishnur Eva Nasamshaya. There is no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. Om Maganati Minandasa Gananjana Salakaya Chaksuran Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitana Manovistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svaparantikam. This verse is very important because it reminds us of the eternal principle that one cannot become free from this material nature unless one surrenders to Krishna. In fact, the material nature is described here as being duratyaya, that it is insurmountable. One cannot overcome it. Many attempts are made to become liberated from this material energy. In the material field, people sometimes try to give up their lives by committing suicide, or they try to go away from civilization and live in the forest, or they try to absorb themselves in some sort of meditative practice, which is material. Or they try to absorb themselves in their work, or they try to become successful in some particular field, to be the number one first-class best person in science, politics, art, philosophy, mathematics. Some way. But this doesn't actually bring liberation. And spiritually also, people endeavor in many misguided ways to overcome the material energy. For every genuine spiritual person, there are 1,000 charlatans. For every genuine person who can liberate us, there are 1,000 charlatans. So Prabhupada mentions here that one cannot be taken out of bondage. The bound cannot undo the bound. If one is bound, one has to encounter someone who is unbound. So such persons are extremely rare. One is very fortunate to encounter one who is not bound. Ramanda, what is it? Ramanda Banyate, Konya Bhagyavanji. Guru Krishna Prasade, Pai Lata Bhakti, Bhakta Vij, Pai Bhakti Lata Vij. That means, Ramanda Bhumite, Konya Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade, Pai Bhakti Lata Vij. One is extremely fortunate if one, after traveling, as the conditioned soul does, through many different situations and different places in the universe, Ramanda Bhumite, Konya Bhagyavan Jeev. One is very fortunate if one can meet someone who is unbound, a spiritual master, who can give the essence of devotional service, at which time the Bhakti Lata Beach, the seed of devotional service, the creeper of devotional service, begins. So this is our good fortune, that we have encountered a spiritual master. We have seen the way out of material existence. Also in the spiritual field, people attempt many different mistaken forms of meditation. or even different forms of worship in different religions. Generally, people in the Vedic tradition, they worship the unmanifest, avyaktam, or the impersonal manifestation of God. So everywhere, people are bound. Even though the people who live according to Vedic culture in India, they're much more advanced than we are in these Western countries, still they are also misguided by people who think that the ultimate is the impersonal. And they try to develop that system of liberation. But that's incomplete. There's a famous verse in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning Nye Nye, which says that you cannot actually gain liberation. You cannot gain freedom by meditating on the impersonal aspect of God or Krishna. So whether in the material or the spiritual field, the influence of the three modes of nature is so strong that one is bound by material nature. So Prabhupada is raising the point in the purport that we are all spiritual by nature. Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak. I am the beginning, I am the origin of everything. Matak sarvam pravartate, material and spiritual. So ultimately we are spiritual, but we're covered. If a small spark is covered by a blanket, it becomes extinguished and it loses its power because it's not getting proper oxygen. So similarly, our spirit soul, which is so powerful that it can drive our body to the end of its birth and then start another body again, so powerful. But still, Maya is so powerful that when this blanket of Maya covers our soul, it loses its freedom, just like a spark is cut off by losing its oxygen. So the power of Maya is always so strong that even the great sages, even the great self-realized persons are praying that they will not be overcome. And there are many instances in the history of Vedic thought and incidences and anecdotes in the Srimad Bhagavatam where great, highly elevated souls who are actually developing love for Krishna become victimized by Maya. Bharat Maharaj is one example, a great soul. But because he was a good and kind person, he tried to protect a small animal, the deer, when its mother died. And then he became attached. And at the time of death, he died rather suddenly. He was victimized by affectionately thinking of this animal. So one can become a victim even of affection. Now Prabhupada is also quoting here Lord Shiva, saying that it is only by worship of Krishna that one can be liberated. And the example is also given there in the incident in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Lord Shiva becomes victimized by Krishna in his beautiful form of Mohini Murti. He appears to become victimized anyway. And as he is apparently in illusion, running after this beautiful feminine form of Krishna, Krishna in this form led him in front of many great sages meditating in the hermitages. And they saw what was apparently Lord Shiva, who was running lustily after this beautiful woman. And they began to think, what am I doing? Who am I? How am I safe here, meditating and practicing my worship, when even Lord Shiva appears to be victimized? Of course, this was an eternal relationship, internal pastime with Krishna and Lord Shiva. He wasn't actually being victimized, but he appeared that way, so that others could be instructed. And other great souls, even the Mahajans, like Prahlad Maharaj, states that he's fearful of the material energy. It's so powerful. And there was one instance here also in Berlin. When the first temple started, there was one devotee, American devotee, named Shivananda. Maybe you know the story. He was sitting in the room with Prabhupada, and he said, Prabhupada, please give me your blessing. Is there anything I can do for you, Prabhupada? Is there anything I can do? This was in 1969. And Prabhupada said to him, he said, just pray for me that I will never fall into Maya. Pray that I will never fall into Maya. Of course, we know that Prabhupada was a Mahabhagavata and he could not fall into Maya. But in order to instruct his disciple, and out of his own feeling of humility also, he made this comment. There are many types of meditation where people have to stare at a dot or close their eyes and think of a light or the void. And there are many types of worship where people go into temples and they have deities and they worship them. But in these instances, love in the heart does not actually develop. And Prabhupada speaks here of affection flowing from Krishna. Love does not develop in the heart because it requires developing a personal relationship with Krishna. Then the love can flow. Krishna is a fountainhead of affection for all living entities. And as Prabhupada mentions here, we're all part of Krishna. Mame vamso jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. And as Krishna claims earlier in this chapter, he says, O son of Prita, I am the seed of all original seed of all existences, bijamam sarvabhutanam. And he also states in the 14th chapter that he is the father, aham bija pradapitam, the father of all living beings. Fathers must by nature have affection for their children. So Krishna's affection is very great, greater than we can imagine, greater than any affection that we can feel, because Krishna is the fountainhead of all affection. And this affection is constantly flowing down to the living entities. Just like the sun, it's always beaming down its light and heat, but we don't always feel it. Sometimes we may be covered by a cloud, or we may be inside of a building, we may be underground, but those rays are always coming. So it's just a matter of being able to receive. It's just a matter of fixing our consciousness so that we can actually receive that love that's coming from Krishna. And when one develops love for Krishna, one develops love for all living entities, all beings, not just human beings, but all beings, plants, animals, insects, birds, beasts, fish. That love is there. So we are all spiritual, that's the point, but we've completely forgotten it. And the whole process of developing Krishna consciousness is to awaken ourselves and to awaken others. Material existence is like a dream. It's like a sleep. And the sound of the Hare Krishna mantra is like our alarm clock. It wakes us up to the higher reality of life. And the purpose of devotional service or preaching devotional service is to wake up the whole world, which is sleeping. And in sleep is very dangerous because anyone can attack us in our sleep and we won't be ready. We won't be noticing it. So it's a very dangerous condition for everyone. It's like being asleep and tied up in a bed. Gunas are also called ropes. It's like being tied up. So the devotee's mercy, which is Krishna's mercy flowing through the devotee, is to wake them up out of this slumber, this very dangerous slumber. It's actually very dangerous to live in the material world because we're asleep and we don't know how dangerous it is. Sometimes when people are asleep, there's a flood or an earthquake or a fire, and they don't know, and then they die. So similarly, if we're in this slumber of material existence, so many things can happen to us. So it's the duty of a devotee, because of affection for the other living entities, to wake everybody up to a higher consciousness, to reality. Prabhupada makes a very important statement here. He says, the conditioned soul is therefore called nityabhada, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. We're called nityabhada because we have been conditioned for so long, so many lifetimes, that it's like eternity. In primitive cultures, sometimes people, they can't count beyond 1, 2, 3, 4. And every number above 4 or 5 is infinity to such a person. So our memories are so short that we remember nothing of our past lives. And even if we had a limited time in this material world, it still covers millions of years. So therefore we're called eternally conditioned. It's so long, we can't imagine how long it is. It's beyond our conception how long we've been conditioned. So the term nityabhada is used, eternally conditioned. So it's very difficult to wake someone up from this condition. And Maya is described here in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad as the supreme magician, Mayam tu prakritim vidyam mayinam tu maheshwaram. How can it be that Maya is such a great magician? Well, one way we can understand how intelligent Maya is, if we're at all skeptical about Maya's power, is to look at the force which keeps the living beings in the material world. The force which keeps the living beings, at least the human beings, all beings, but especially human beings, is desire, sex desire between man and woman. It's so powerful. But actually, when one is awakened to spiritual consciousness and sees the physical body for what it really is, then one is more intelligent than Maya. But it's very difficult because Maya has packaged these material bodies so nicely. When we go into a market, we go in to buy one item, like some milk, but then we see something that's very attractively packaged, some butter, maybe some yogurt, whatever, and we become enamored with it. We become mesmerized, hypnotized. That's magic. And then we buy it. We didn't want to buy it, but we bought it. Why? Because it's packaged. So it maybe it doesn't even taste good. We don't know. So Maya has packaged these material bodies with skin. It's a very thin layer, the skin. If you weigh the skin on the body, it's maybe 1/100th of the whole body weight. It's a very little thin covering. If that little covering of Maya is stripped away, that little thin membrane of skin is taken off of a beautiful body, the most attractive body. It's so revolting that you can't even look at it. You can't even think about it. It's so revolting. But Maya is so intelligent that this little tiny layer keeps all of the conditioned beings living in this material world forgetful completely about their original existence, and year after year, getting older and older and older, still being attached to the material world. We heard Prabhupada say once that the old men go into the nightclubs, especially in Paris. They're known for this. They go when they're 70, 80 years old. They're completely impotent sexually. They're impotent. But they go and they pay lots of money so they can dance with the young girls, and they make business out of this. They go and they dance because their minds are still attached, even though they are physically incapable of anything. Their minds are still attached to the beautiful forms that Maya has created, even in their mind. So this actually continues right up to the point of death. And even though people think that I won't be bound at the time of death, sometimes people that are brought up in the Vedic culture, they think when I get old, then I'll go to the Himalayas. I'll go. I'll take a pilgrimage and then I'll be liberated. But the desire for sense gratification remains. It always remains, unless one can surrender. It stays in the heart. Raso vajram rasopyasya param vishram nivartate. It stays within the mind. There's the famous story of King, was it Akbar or Ashok? I think it was Akbar, King Akbar. It was King Akbar whose minister was very confidential, and Akbar was a very philosophical fellow, and he said, how long does this sex desire remain in the mind of a human being? And he said, it will remain with you right up until the very moment you die. So he said, I don't believe that's not possible. So the minister let it slide. He